Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to Leading Edge Cricket Podcast. This is episode 2 of England Watch, and today what we're going to be basically breaking down is Rob Key is the new director of men's cricket. We're going to take a look at that, and also we're going to get stuck in to a little bit of a look around who's doing what in English cricket at the moment. Our English Watch Twitter is going really, really well, and every single day at Leading Edge Pod, you can see us tweeting out about who's done what each day. And today we're going to go into a little bit of a deep dive in everyone's performances during week one. Sound good to you, Rich?
Sounds very good, Rob.
Sounds very good. Let's have a look at Rob Key.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Rob Key, that's the big news, isn't it? I think we need to touch on that because this is the first fall to drop. First shoe to drop, and then the rest will fall into place. When Joe Root was resigned himself as captain recently, the world just seemed to collapse for some people talking about English cricket. We kind of knew it was coming, that Joe Root may be stepping down. So we knew at some point we would have three positions up for grabs. I'm glad that Joe Root stepped down from his own choice rather than being forced to do so. So that's one thing I'm happy about. But we are filling in the key positions now as we need to. So Managing Director of England Men's Cricket, Rob Key, 42-year-old. We know Rob Key as Kent captain, Kent opening batsman, maybe a little bit of England opening batsman, not for long, or he batted at three, maybe a little bit. We know him as a Sky Sports pundit, but we didn't think we'd expect to see him here. He's not had a job, you know, in the back office, if you want to call it, of cricket in any way. My initial reaction to this is it seems like a really promising appointment. The likes of Nasser Hussain, Mike Atherton and others, yeah, the mates of his, the colleagues of his, but when they talk highly of somebody, I listen because I really respect what those people have got to say, especially Nasser. Yep. He's just a little bit more honest than the normal bloke in the street, isn't he? They're really quite enthused by him. They like, they all talk about what a sharp cricket brain he's got. He's not somebody that's willing to just go along with the accepted view of any situation or any individual. And he can be a little bit stubborn as well, which when you look at the ECB, you need somebody to say, no, this is how it needs to be done. Not just go along for the easy ride. Don't be listening to the press. Don't be listening to pundits. Don't be listening to papers and all the rest of it. We need somebody to dig the heels in a little bit. So Rob Key, I think it's a good appointment. I don't know who else was up for it, so I can't really compare names.
Yeah.
But it seems like a fresh appointment, doesn't it? It seems like they've got someone that wasn't ultra-establishment. He wasn't an England captain. He wasn't an England Test superstar. He wasn't a huge name in international cricket. Obviously, we all know him in county cricket. A lot of runs, a lot of games. But it just feels fresh, doesn't it, Rob?
It does. And I mean, we're at the low. You've got to hit the bottom before you bounce back out and you have radical change. We're at that point where corporate term, we need a step change. And this is potentially what it looks like. And the thing is, you're right. When you see Nasser Hussain turn around and go, this lad knows cricket, direct quote, that's pretty solid from Nasser. Nasser's got a great brain. He's the sort of guy that you might want to have involved. But Rob Key will be, hopefully, get the opportunity to be his own man, set his own systems, his own strategy. Yep. And I guess this is the question. And it's like, great, we've got someone forward-thinking, it feels, open-minded. How much rein does Rob Key get in this job without Teflon Tom at the top saying, this is how I want things to run and these are what your, you know, key performance indicators look like? How much room does he get to go, I want to do like Ashley Giles did. I want to do this. I'm going to go do it. Does he get the same rein again?
Look, Tom Harrison is hanging on by a thread, isn't he? He needs to just, you know, he needs to give almost free rein. Yeah, he's given the man the job. So obviously what he's heard, he likes. And whoever was part of that selection panel. So he has to give near free rein to the cricketing man. Tom Harrison is not a cricketing man, is he? Unless I've completely missed his 100 county career appearances. Maybe I have. Apologies if I have. Yeah. Anybody? Anybody? No.
Right. He's a businessman.
Yeah. So the cricket man can sort the cricket stuff out. If he needs a bit of support, make sure that support is put in place. Make sure a team is put in place around him that can look after that administrative side of the game. Rob Key has to, like you said, the strategy, the culture, the vision, he needs to set that out. ECB's vision is, how do we make more money? That's not vision. That's not sustainable. That's not anything, is it? It's just a waste of time because it's built on absolute sand, isn't it? So I think he should be given free rein. And I'm going to be really interested to see where he goes next, because obviously we need the head coach. But are we looking at two head coaches? Are we looking at reintroducing a selector, or are we saying the coaches are the selectors? I think he's going to split it off. I can't remember exactly what he's spoken about on this subject, but I think he's a man that's going to say we want a white ball coach and we want a test match coach. And I think he'll reintroduce the selection. It was, let's just circle back for 1 minute. It was far too much for Ashley Giles to put on Chris Silverwood. Yep. We've criticised Chris Silverwood, rightly so, but Chris Silverwood was asked to be the coach of all three formats and be the selector. He had eyes and ears elsewhere, but he was ultimately responsible for everything. I do understand it from a point. Ashley Giles, I don't think he liked the split captains when he was the white ball captain, wasn't he? Coach previously. So I think he did it as a reaction maybe to his experience, but it was just not right. It's just too much cricket and it coincided with COVID. So it has to be split out. And I hope Rob Key does do that. So we are looking for two coaches, I would imagine, and a form of selection, whether that's one, whether that's three, or whether it's one that heads up a whole panel of selectors. I don't know. But I will be really intrigued to see if he does carve it up in that manner.
You know what I'd like? And I think we might get a little bit more of it. The ECB has created an us against them mentality. And not in a good way. And not a back to the walls. We're coming out fighting. Yeah. They've created something different where people are like, mate, you're not fit for purpose. What I would like is a new air of transparency around strategy, what we're going to do, how we're going to go about it, why decisions are being made, and just create more of a connection with cricket fans who have loved this team for a long time. And I feel like Rob Key, ex-pundit, may be able to do that.
Yeah, he's a nice link point, isn't he? Because he's a player, so he understands the game. He played a hell of a long time in county cricket. He owes his living to county cricket. He played test match cricket, so he understands international cricket. But he's been a pundit, so he's seen the other side of the game. He's looking at it. He's constantly watching cricket of all formats, isn't he? Yeah. And he's a link. You're closer to the fans and you're closer to what people are talking about. He does the cricket shows, etc., through Sky Sports. So there's a nice link there, isn't there? I think you're absolutely right. Talking about strategy being more open and being transparent, as long as it's not corporate nonsense and trying to get themselves out of trouble and paint themselves in the best possible light, like they did with the racism stuff, just be genuine, be honest. Don't just do it because you think that this is what people want to hear. Yes. We want a genuine strategy and a genuine opening up of what the culture is going to be, how we're looking. You know, if a player's not up for selection, I want to know if a player's not up for selection for whatever reason. And why, Owen Morgan? I am enthused by it. I think it's a really good first point. And I think he's inexperienced, so he's going to have to learn how to be a manager. But I think he's going to be somebody that people will want to work with because he's not a closed off person from what it seems. He's not somebody that's just going to be locked into old ideas. It could suddenly pique the interest of one or two candidates, especially for Red Bull cricket, that will think, well, this guy is a little bit more forward thinking than others might have been. I might be able to work with him. So, roll it on. Should we just quickly sum up what he said? It's a relatively brief statement. So Rob Key said, it's an absolute honour to take up this role. The chance to have an impact and make a difference is an opportunity given to very few, and I'll give it everything I have to try and shape the next great era of English men's cricket. I like that. He didn't say that. I did. I have absolutely loved my time at Sky, and I could never have imagined leaving were it not for this incredible opportunity. I'd like to personally thank Brian Henderson and everyone in the team for their help and support. Although at this current moment it has been a challenging time in English cricket, I also think it's as exciting a time as I can remember, with two of our teams near or at the top of the world rankings and an undoubted amount of talent in our game. I hope to try and bring everyone along for the ride so we can all help take English men's cricket to new heights across all formats. So it's seeing that opportunity, isn't it? It's not going, oh my God, England are so rubbish again. What are we going to do now? Like a lot of fans do, ourselves potentially included sometimes, he's saying, look, this is an opportunity. There is talent out there. There is quality. We need a way of actually giving the quality and the talent that opportunity. And that's all the way through. How do we restructure county cricket? Andrew Strauss is still looking at the review of that, isn't it? How do we look at the way people are playing, the pitches that they're playing on, the young spinners, are they getting game time or not? And then getting them into the international arena. And what sort of environment are they stepping into? Are they stepping into an environment that will embrace them and give them chance to express themselves? Or are they stepping into an environment that's any time now they're going to fail? I think I've said enough on this one. But good on it. Let's have the coaches now.
Yeah, exactly. And he's already made some good quotes talking about the coaches and who he rates Fleming, rates Jai Wardener, rates Kirsten. and was quite honest in the quotes that I've seen talking about what they might want. Gary Kirsten might want to come in, but I don't think he'll want to touch Red Bull. I don't think he'll want that level of commitment.
Okay.
So I do feel this is going to be, or I'm optimistic it's going to be a new era of communication from the ECB about what, why, how, those sorts of conversations that are just so many times just shut down into interpretation of why things are happening.
Mm.
I would like to hopefully have an era where things like James Anderson and Broad not being picked don't resurface. It's not because, not because they've been dropped, but the lack of transparency around what's actually going on. It's I'm optimistic. I don't do it very often when talking about English cricket because it can drag you down, but I am optimistic about what the future's going to hold for us, Rich. And talking of futures, we're going to look through the top 10 batting prospects for the country, varying ages. 32 all the way down to about 23 in the list. So that's really exciting. Five players under the age of 25 in this list as well, which is exceptional. But before we get into that, we started touching on England Watch. Now, this was touched on in the podcast last year, and it's taken on to Twitter this year, where at the end of County Championship Day, we're tweeting out who are the England stars or potential England players and what are the performances that have been going on in the meantime. Last podcast, we did a real round robin of everything that's going on. We also touched on the injury report, which had Mark Ward and Ben Stokes and Jofra Archer and all these people. But interestingly enough, we touched on Ollie Stone and we said there's no updates on Ollie Stone. This time around, there's updates on Ollie Stone, and Ollie Stone's gone and played some second 11 cricket, Rich.
Yes, great news. I'm not going to get too excited. We've seen a few false starts for Ollie Stone and injuries, haven't we? So all we can say, it's really promising to see him back on the field and playing some cricket. Take your time, Ollie. I think that's one thing with all these fast bowlers, whoever it might be. Jofra Archer, obviously we saw him back for Sussex last summer and we got really excited. Bowling with serious pace again, took a wicket or two, and then he didn't play the rest of that game. And we've not seen him since. So take your time. That's all we need to say. And hopefully we'll get some of these quicks back in the England reckoning soon.
Yeah. So whip through the players who's been performing. So starting off in Lancashire, Josh Bohanan, who was, you know, maybe a little unfairly looked over for the West Indies series. In fact, his coach has supported him on that. They've started a new series on the Lancashire YouTube channel called Lancashire TV. There they went, how did he not get a game, mate? In a slightly different accent. But he turned up, he scored 19 off 35. We said, how does he get in this England team, Rich? We said, weight of runs,
yes.
19 off 35 in a heavily high-scoring contest is probably not going to do that.
No, I think that's the thing, isn't it? He would have been eyeing up maybe that Dan Lawrence spot in the West Indies, but they obviously chose to give Dan Lawrence an opportunity after they didn't give him opportunity in Australia. Yeah, Bohanan, just go and score runs. That's it. He's certainly close to it, isn't he? But again, before we talk about any of this, we have to qualify. Rob Key's just stepped in. We don't know who the selectors are going to be. We don't know who the coaches are going to be. Everybody, I hope, and this is the real thing I do hope with this new setup, I mean, they called it a Red Bull reset. It wasn't a Red Bull reset, Joe. Sorry, it wasn't. But now it should be. It should be everybody given an opportunity. It's like a new manager coming into a football club, isn't it? The blokes in the bomb squad that are, you know, training with the youth team, you've got an opportunity again. It's the same principle with cricket now, isn't it? Everybody should be given a fresh opportunity. And, you know, the likes of Josh Bohanan is close by. Will they fancy him? Will they fancy any of these players who they seem to be liking before? Or will there be other people out there? So it's going to be really interesting to see who they do start, you know, trending towards when we do get the setup announced.
No, very true, mate. James Bracey started well week one, came and popped back in here. Five off 13 in the first innings. I'm thinking, oh, come on, Bobby Bracey. You can do this, son. 177. Even got a fire emoji off you on day four of the County Championship, mate.
I don't hand them out willy-nilly, you know.
You don't. That's a big deal. No. You've got the fire emoji, son. Or if you get the eyes, then you know you're getting serious. But 177, Rich. Two centuries batting at number three for Gloucestershire this year. What do you think?
Yes. Wonderful. It's so nice to see players come back from difficult situations. You know, we spoke about Tom Lamonby, didn't we, in another conversation. You need those challenging times to see how you can come back. And it gives you more in your armour, doesn't it? Of right, I can lean back on that experience. I have got that and I've shown I can come back and fight through it and perform. cricket's an easy game when everything's rolling well, especially as a young player. If you don't have any challenges, it's an easy game. We played a pre-season friendly, just completely off topic here, but pre-season friendly on Saturday. We've got a young opening bowler. He's very, very talented. Was getting panned all over the place first couple of overs, but he's settled in and he'll use that again. He'll have that experience to lean back on. He's settled back in, took wickets and looked good. And you need those challenging instances. You need to be able to fight through those and you need to see that you can perform after it. So credit to the captain for keeping him on, obviously, and credit to him as well for going through it. But that's what you need, and that's what the likes of James Bracey's done. The sky's the limit for him. It really is. We've got a couple of number threes, haven't we? Ben Duckett's out there scoring runs. We know our friend Dave Bracegirdle thinks he's probably the most talented number three in English cricket. He should get some England recognition this year. James Bracey at the other end of the country is saying, well, what about me? I should be as well. Keep scoring runs. Keep scoring runs.
Keep scoring runs. Good on him. Rory Burns returning to action at Surrey this season. Different situation to what he's been in previously. Not part of the England setup after 32-33 tests. We said, how do you get back in the team? It's a different conversation for Burns, who went and scored 21 in this game. Not a lot to go off. But how does he get back in the team? Because what you've seen in international cricket is a guy with a wonky technique, given plenty of opportunity, and provide you one test match century every 11 test matches.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Most of this conversation, most of that question is how does somebody get into an England test team? It's weight of runs, it's score runs. Yeah. Rory Burns, we know he can score runs at county cricket. I'm not worried about a 21. He's still quality. He will still score a shed load of runs in county cricket. But he needs, and we spoke about this, I think, last week on the first England watch, he needs to go away and prove that he is tweaking his technique to make sure when he does, and if or when he does get that opportunity back at opening for England, he's not going to make the same mistakes again. Because what's the point? If he goes back in, he's not changed a thing. We know what the outcome will be. It won't be any different.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures going around of him bowling with his long flowing locks?
No, but I've seen his long flowing locks.
Yep. You really missed out, mate. It was a thing of beauty. The bowling wasn't, but the hair was. It was a Nivea for Men County Championship cricket.
It would have made me... I was blonde. It's hard to believe now, but that was me when I was about 14, 15, basically. Rory Burns hairdo. So I can't give him too much.
Living vicariously through Rory Burns.
Rory Burns hair. Has he got his own Twitter account yet? Rory Burns haircut.
Hairdo.
He should have.
Ollie Pope, mate, has gone and done Ollie Pope type things. He scored a century at Surrey. He scores centuries at Surrey like they're going out of fashion, mate. Do you know anything more about if Ollie Pope is ready to play international cricket again for him scoring a century at the Oval than before this game?
No, I've got no idea. Will Ollie Pope do the same things? It's like Rory Burns, isn't it? Technically, it's not as much of an issue, but he's a bit of a fiddler, isn't he, with technique, Ollie Pope. Just settle in, mate. Just relax. Just enjoy your cricket and try not to overthink technical things, batting on off stump, batting outside off stump. Just whatever works for him, really. But just settle on one thing. Get on with it. Keep scoring runs. He's class.
I saw his technique. I thought he was taking a more reasonable 2/middle guard with maybe a bit of a trigger. So maybe a little bit too far outside for me. But, you know, I've said before, the reason you would bat on off stump is so you're leaving balls around fifth and sixth stump to avoid getting out like that. You don't just go and play at them like you were when you changed your guard. So that didn't work out for me.
No.
Ben Foulkes, 100 last week, 40-odd this week, still solid. The opening keeper come the start of the season?
Has to be, 100%. Move up, next question.
Best keeper, good player. Haseeb Hameed, poor
tricky
England
one.
Record. He got a run-out duck. I think it was a run-out duck. Sorry, he got 24 and he got a duck in this game. Not got going this season. How far down the pecking order has he fallen with other people performing around him?
I think he's dropped further than he should have dropped. I think he was put into a dreadful situation over the winter. He was picked earlier than he should have been. We shouldn't take away his achievements over the last couple of summers, especially last summer, by looking at him what happened in Australia. Who performed well with the bat in Australia?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question. Let's put it into context. Haseeb Hameed looked $1 million on his way to 34 in the first innings. He looked superb. He was driving the ball. He wasn't just cut. He was playing superbly well. It has to be said. Ball was drilled back. He was still at the non-striker's end, backing up as he should be. Massive size 11 boot of James Whale, run out. Deflected onto the stumps, run out. It happens. It's just one of those things. A duck in the second innings, do you know what? Openers are going to get ducks. I don't worry about ducks too much. It's when he starts making starts. Sorry, when he starts making starts? When he's making starts, that's when I want to see him go on and make runs.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about the odd duck here and there because you're going to get a good one early occasionally. Mike Atherton, he doesn't he hold a record for about ducks just about, or used to in Test cricket?
I think so. And the stats are quite interesting on this. I think it's openers, the three-year rolling average for scores of less than 10 per innings is every fourth innings an opener is going to score less than 10 is the county championship average. So if you're scoring a less than 10 every three innings, you're like Alistair Cook level of consistency. So it's an incredibly hard position to be consistent in. You've just got to, when you get in, you got to go big really as an opener, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I have faith in Hamid, and I think people need to just try and wipe a little bit of that ashes from their minds and just look forward again. Look at what he did in county cricket last year. Look what he did when he first got into the test side last year. I thought he did well. He was building up to something better. He had a really tough time of it. He's lost his place, rightly wrong, or whatever you want to say, but he's still to come back. He's still a young fella, and he's still got a hell of a lot of ability.
Someone you've touched on, Ben Duckett, 100 and a 95, batting at three.
He's looking good. He really is. He's such a talented player. He's another one, isn't he, that had his England opportunity very, very early. Same as Hamid. He just seems to be completely out of favour, but he's a three-format cricketer. He could play for England in any format and England wouldn't be missing a beat. I think he probably gets himself in white ball first, perhaps, this year. He's done really well in over the winter or last couple of winters in white ball, T20 and others. So he's on England watch for a damn good reason because he should be playing for England at some point this summer.
Then I think probably the most controversial England watch player on here, and that's Joe Clark. There's a lot of hate for Joe Clark on Twitter based on previous behaviours and activities that's gone on with mobile phones and the content of it.
Yeah,
he's on there. He's T20 franchise player around the world. Highly acclaimed, did really well in the Big Bash. We had a conversation about this several podcasts ago. And essentially what we were trying to do is go, can he play for England? There's the high ceiling of what he can go and achieve as a batsman, but we're maybe not quite seeing it in red ball cricket as of yet.
No.
But given what's gone on before, and I don't think we came to a conclusive answer of, is there a period that's enough time to go, you know what, grow, get better, be a better person, and come back to us in a few years when you've matured, mate? Where do we sit now?
Yeah, I think my opinion is probably quite similar maybe to what it was then. I can't remember exactly, but you have to have an opportunity to grow as a person, to improve as a person, to understand where you fell down short and where you went wrong. He was a relatively young person at the time. It's not an excuse. He wasn't involved in the criminal activity that that put his friend in prison. He was there or thereabouts, wasn't he? You know, he was around the time, and there was a lot of nonsense being spoken on that WhatsApp group. You know, a lot of misogynistic, utterly diabolical nonsense. Has he grown as a person? Has he become a better person? Does he understand where he fell short? Does he understand where he went wrong? I'd like to hear him talk. Yeah. I think that's important, and I think that'll be important for him. He's on England watch because he's one of the most talented cricketers in English cricket. He's almost in that Ollie Pope mold, not on runs scored, but on quality and technique. He is a superb cricketer. If it wasn't for all the off field stuff and what he got him involved in, he would have played English cricket, England international cricket by now. I'm absolutely certain of that.
I think definitely talking white ball. I think he's got a bit of a way to go with the red ball. Yeah, he just need a level of consistency with the bat before he comes in a test match conversation. Yeah. I need to see him score some big runs.
Definitely, but I've just got to add as well quickly, you know, he's on England watch as well for the other reason is he was unofficially one of the standby players for the West Indies Test Series.
Yeah. Yes, he was. That is a very, very good point. You know,
he's very close to the England setup, rightly or wrongly in people's eyes, but I think we have to give people opportunity to pay their dues, do their time, whatever, however we want to put it, and have the opportunity to come again. Otherwise, we may as well just shut society down because everybody has made some mistakes at some point. Some more onerous than others, isn't it? So I would like at some point, I think that's the important point for me, and I think let's just finish on that. Joe Clark, I'd love to hear him talk about this. Have a serious interview, not a flippant end of day, how did you get on, Joe? a serious conversation about what happened previously, and just let's hear who he is as a person now.
What happened? What did you do? What have you changed? Who are you now? What's Joe Clark age? Yeah. What, 25, 26? Don't know how old he is exactly.
Yeah, about that.
How's he different to Joe Clark age 21? Like, what have you learned?
Absolutely.
Very interesting, deep conversation, and one that society hasn't got an answer on nine times out of 10 on what happens with these things, especially these days. Yeah. Talking of a player, white ball-esque, but with red ball ambition, which I like, because in the preview podcast we said, Phil Salt, going to Lancashire, great signing. What do you want to do? What does Phil Salt in 5 years look like? Is he just a white ball, you know, dynamic sort of player, great hands, goes and gets 180, 200 strike rates, bats at the top of the order, gets an IPL contract? Or does he want to play Test cricket for England? He's playing. He scored 97 on debut for Lancashire, Rich.
It's a really tricky one, isn't it? Because in 5 years' time, he's 30. You know, he's not a kid anymore. You see these players and they're promising young players, and then suddenly you blink and he's 25. He's got a decent but not great first class record so far, isn't he? He's averaging about 32, which, as you say from your deep delve into the stats book, is there or thereabouts these days in county cricket for a player.
Yeah,
I think it's good that he's batting down the order. He's starting to don the gloves more and more. You know, he's probably looking, and he's had people sit down with him when he makes this move to Lancashire. Where are you going to get into England teams? If you want to play Red Bull cricket, where are you going to get in? Are you going to get in as an opener? There's a chance, but he could end up being a bit of a Jason Roy opening at Test cricket. Yeah. Because his positive in white ball opening is going off like a train, isn't it? Those first few overs, he finds the ropes. That's not going to work in Test cricket. So maybe we look at, oh, well, is Ben Folkes ahead of me with the gloves? Sam Billings, perhaps. There's not many others with the gloves. Maybe James Bracey, depending on how England view him. So I think Phil Salt's identifying where he might be able to get himself in down the road in 2 or 3 years' time. I don't think it's an imminent England selection, but red ball, let's keep an eye on him. White ball, he should be seen as a much more important player.
And bat him in the right place. Don't bat him at number six in white ball cricket. He's an opener in T20 cricket going open with him. A couple of bowling performances thrown into the mixer that was worth noting. Matt Fisher, particularly first innings, 4 for 19 off about 15 overs, mate. Difficult winter. Got a game. That's great. Career defining moment. Played for England, Test match cricket. Well done.
Yeah.
Took a wicket, was pretty economical. Didn't move the ball off straight for the entirety of the Test match he played. What are your thoughts? Coming back strong.
What you expect. Talented young player, isn't he? I think the international cricket, we need to be a little bit, I think we all need to be a little bit wary about. It was one game, wasn't it? He had one test. It didn't move. We've all played a game where the ball's not moving. It's faulty. I can't do anything with it. Maybe it was one of those games. Yeah. I blame the South Knots balls. They stopped swinging. I think maybe it could be. I'd like to see him in a second game because it could be that facility, condition, whatever it might be, he just couldn't extract the movement you'd expect of him. You've said it. We've seen him already play back at Yorkshire. He's nibbling the ball around a bit. He's looking threatening again. He's taking wickets. He's a prototype, isn't he? He's a build of England bowler that you want. He's tall. He's strong. He's got good action. He's going to be around. But it's the depth of bowlers we now have. Where does he fit in? Now you slot Broad and Anderson back in. He's down the queue. It's going to take a while, but if he takes wickets, he's in the conversation.
Yeah. Don Bess, 1 for 25 thrown into the mixer and 1 for 54. Like,
he got a few runs as well, didn't he? And I think we need to see him as a potential all-rounder. But for me, he's a ways off. He's not in the top five or six spinners. Maybe I'm probably being a little bit harsh. Maybe he's about five, but he shouldn't be considered as a spinner. And he's not good enough with a bat to be an all-rounder yet as well. So I think he's down the pecking order for me, especially when you consider early season. A lot of spinners are taking wickets.
Yeah,
and they're bowling. You know, Don Bess hasn't quite done it. He's only had the one game, so let's not be too harsh on him. Good cricketer, promising cricketer. I like the way he goes about his business. Love the fact he's always got his mucky whites on. It makes him feel like a club cricketer, doesn't it? The guy that doesn't wash his kit.
Relatable.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a player in there, but for now, I don't want him to be around the test arena. Whether there's a real role for him in the longer formats, I don't know. I'm not sure whilst Adil Rashid's around, he'll get much of a game there.
It is. It's something I can relate to. I go through pretty much a whole season without washing my whites. It'll drive my mum and dad crazy when I went with dirty grass marks on my trousers from 6 weeks into the season. And borrowing other people's kit as well. I was terrible for that. And boxes. Craig Overton. Craig Overton, mate. Seven wickets, 6 wickets. We touched on him when we were talking about the championship review because you can't look at that game without talking about him. But what I saw was a lot of emotion pumped into that game and a huge amount of control, huge amount of output, bowling a much better length. Either he was told to bowl somewhere else in the West Indies or it just absolutely fell to pieces. But Craig Overton, I think we can all agree, isn't a test match opening bowler from what we've seen so far in test match cricket. The question is he good enough to be the next incarnation of a Chris Wokes? Provide that sort of role, someone that can bat a bit. He's not as good a batter, but he can provide control and move the ball around during those middle overs, first change, second change. How does Craig Overton play cricket for England this year? Because he's taken a stack load of wickets last year and he's probably going to do the same this year. Is it the case of you just need to step away longer than that and wait for Wokes to maybe step away a little bit, who's struggling in that England lineup? Or get the official, hey, there's no Jimmy, no Broady. Like, places are up for grabs. Is that how he gets involved?
It has to be. It has to be injuries or forced retirements. I think that's the only way we can say it, isn't it? And that's not a knock on him. He's going to go away and he's going to do what he did last year. He's going to take wickets. Him and Ollie Robinson got off to a flyer. They were absolute wicket machines, weren't they? That's what got him into England contention. Is Ollie Robinson fit? Will Broad play? Will Anderson play? Is Saki Mahmood on form? There are other players out there. Will Mark Wood recover? Will Ollie Stone get back involved if he's fit? Will Jofra play? There's so many questions. And there are some other young players coming through the system as well, aren't there, with the ball. Overton's a fine player. He'll be part of the conversation. Why do I always forget Chris Wokes? Sorry, Chris Wokes. There are so many players coming through the system with the ball. So it's just a tough one for him. He's going to keep taking wickets. Therefore, he's going to be part of the conversation. Whether he plays... Who knows?
You decide. Big Brother, roll back. We're going to generate come back. But Big Brother, that was a thing. That was the hottest thing in TV. Talking about the hottest thing, Dan Lawrence, England's current number four. Disappointing performance. Just all around. 17 off 44. Second innings, he gets a duck. That number four slot's not his, Rich.
No. He's renting. he's not put the deposit down yet, has he? It's massively. There's two spots really, isn't there? I was going to say an opener, but I'm not sure if that's right. I think number four is the spot. If a new coach comes in, he's going to want his people. So nobody in that team at the moment is absolutely locked in. So there's going to be a new idea coming in, and Dan Lawrence's spot is probably the one to look at. Maybe rightly or wrongly, maybe a bit harshly, perhaps. You know, you've got to give these players a run. But if we are doing the official reset, get the T-shirts printed, Red Bull reset, then Lawrence is going to struggle unless he goes and scores bag loads of runs. And
yeah, exactly. He can do.
He can, but I'm not sure. I think there are other players out there that might just get the nod ahead of him.
It depends what Root does. They, you know, we're resetting things. Anything's on the table. Root might bat at four again. And we might be looking at someone else, James Bracey or someone like that coming in. Other notable names playing Zach Crawley, current England opener, came into the Ashes series, batted really well for 80, scored 100 in the West Indies and then forgot to turn up for the next five innings. That's a little harsh, but it's a level of consistency we need from this England team. And we saw it, he scored that 200 against Pakistan, didn't see much after where he averaged 10 for the next year. 100 in the West Indies, didn't see anything for the next few test matches. He looked pretty good for his 54, then got an absolute beauty, didn't pick Matt Parkinson, and stumps on the floor, Rich.
Let's look at that as a positive for Matt Parkinson. A lot of people are going to be done by Matt Parkinson this year. Zach Crawley is going to be in a long list of players. So I'm not worried about Crawley, like Alex Lees, who got off to a flyer last week opening the batting, who didn't play this week. Crawley, he looks in decent order, but he's just got to be consistent. I don't mean like scoring hundreds every week. I just want to see him scoring, even if it's just 50s.
He's going to start, isn't he? He's going to start in this England team come the start of the summer.
Yeah, and we know he's got a big score in him, but it's those in-between innings that he needs to just improve on.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's a fair point. Someone that's altered where they're batting in the lineup. David Malan batted at three last year. Very, very, very positive. Scored plenty of runs. Played for England at number three, just like he did his previous incarnation as part of this England team. Struggled in Australia. Started well, fell apart. Got found out around the off stump. Same happened again. He's batting at four for Yorkshire in county cricket this year. He gets 39. He goes and gets 60-odd in the second innings, mate. Are we? He's on England watch for a reason. He's played cricket for England in the last year.
Yeah.
Twice in the last 5 years, two stints. Mm. Are we having a conversation about the fact that David Malan may play cricket for England this year based on merit? Or is it something where we have to go back to him if something doesn't work later in the summer?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, because I don't know if they'll necessarily be looking at him as like a future piece that they can lock into that batting lineup and say he's going to take us forward. He could be a little bit of a paper over the cracks a little bit for a period of time. I think that's probably doing him a disservice because he's a quality player and he's an international performer now, isn't he, with the white ball. So there is that, but you just look at it. It doesn't get make you jump up and down with excitement, does it? With getting him back in this England team. But if he keeps scoring runs, he's shown he can perform at test level. He's shown he can perform with white ball at international level. It wouldn't hurt England to have him in the team if he's performing and he's on form week in, week out, and he's scoring runs innings after innings. There's no harm in having him, but it doesn't really get you.
The other way to look at it is to go, what do we want to achieve? We want to be the best team in the world. Is David Malan going to be the long-term number three or number four for this England team? Probably not. Probably not. But people can play until the 40 and have great careers. So don't rule it out. But we're in a period where English cricket, we hang our hat on the Ashes to Ashes. That might change when World Test Championship gets bigger and bigger, because we look at that and we're bottom of that behind Bangladesh. That's not going great.
We're not looking at that yet.
So you look at a period of time where you probably can invest in people. And you can suck it up and you go, you know what? We're identifying what we feel are the right people, made of the right stuff with the right techniques, and got a bag or a period of time where they've scored enough runs. These are the guys we're going to push. This is your position. Hey, you've got this for the summer, mate. You're our number four for the summer. How do you go with that?
Yeah, they're not giving that to Milan, are they? So I think, it's nice to build for the future, isn't it? But at the same time, in order to make sure that we are well away from where we are at the minute and we're one of the best teams in Red Bull cricket again, you need to make sure we're good now and start building now. It's a building process, isn't it? We're not decorating before we put the walls up. So we've got to make sure we've got a strong foundation as a test side and we're playing in the right way. We've got the leadership set up. We've got the culture set up. And then we can worry about where we are in 2 or 3 years' time. And if Milan is a man that was going to help, the likes, whoever the new captain is, and some of the younger players that are coming in and complementing these more senior players, then brilliant. So be it. He's not a long-term solution, I don't think. I don't think he's going to be a player that's shown me that he can be a Jonathan Trott influence coming in later in his career. But he might just be somebody that can do the job and glue that middle order together.
He could well do, mate. He could well do. James Vince.
He's a great player. He really is a talented player. I don't buy the hype. I just don't buy the hype of him. He's such a talented player, but there's something about him that it doesn't click with me. Ultra talented. But I mean, maybe if he gets another opportunity in England, he'll prove, I don't know if I say prove me wrong, but he'll prove himself right. Because he's had the opportunity so far and he's not taken them. And I just don't quite understand why he's got such a huge fan club for England. He just strikes me as a bit of the old Ram Prakash Hick county cricket player.
He looks
sounds
beautiful.
Harsh. It sounds really harsh.
That is a little harsh. But
that's also putting him in the category of Ram Prakash and Hick, who were two of the best players to ever played county cricket.
Yep.
But can he?
The thing I want from James Vince
on a Tuesday night.
The thing I want from James Vince, right, is I don't want to see him score 30 and nick off. I don't want to see him score 50 in county championship and nick off. Throw his wicket away. I don't want to see that. I saw it in test cricket and it didn't work. 20, 30, beautiful drives, rasping cover drives, caught it slip. Don't want to see that. We saw that with Joe Denley. It looked good for 20 and 30. He got dropped. Michael Carberry going back in Australia, score 20 and 30, consistently scoring 20 and 30. hey, you're on the scrap heap because we don't believe in you to go and score more runs than that at this level. So he needs to change the dial in the conversation and go, actually, hey, do you see I scored 160 this week? Do you see I scored 200? I've scored three centuries this season. And I want that. I want runs. Well, I want big runs.
Where's your big runs? Get your big runs out.
Get your big runs out. Good one to touch on, because we've touched on Crawley. Alex Lees had an exceptional game last week. Tom Haynes. Big runs, Tom Haynes. We talked Sean Massoud scoring 239. Haynes, hey, hold my beer, 243. And he's looking top-notch at the moment, Rich.
Absolutely. I think he's about 23 years old. He's a diminutive, I think is the polite way of putting it. Left-handed, talented, attacking, aggressive player. Captain of Sussex now, gaining experience in all facets of the game. Very, very attacking player. He's an opener that's got a good technique, but he's not afraid to go after the ball. He scores quickly when the moment does present itself. But he showed in this innings that he's got longevity as well. Leading run scorer in county cricket last year. Leading run scorer in county cricket. It's just established that as a fact. He didn't get a shout with England Lions last year, who were going over the winter, who kind of shadowed England. Rob Yates got the nod, didn't he, and Alex Lees, which now Alex Lees is in there. Haynes being overlooked was a bit of a travesty, really. He's doing it again. He's quality. Whether or not he's got the technique absolutely bang on to step into opening Red Bull, I don't know. I think he could potentially be playing for England in another format, maybe even the ODIs. Not sure about his T20 game yet. He's undoubtedly talented. He has to be almost considered the next new player to come in, unless a Rob Yates goes and scores big. But Haynes, for me, I can't look past him.
Do you make room for him this year? Or do you just say, get another year under your belt, Mike? Just take another year.
I don't think this either is necessarily the right plan from the outset. I think it's how is he performing and how it's the old thing, isn't it? Has Zach Crawley had a run of ducks? Do we drop Zach Crawley into number three, number four even? Is that more suited for him rather than as an opener? Is there then an opportunity for a new opener to come in? Is Rory Burns scoring a lot of runs and he's sorted his technique out? Has Dom Sibley done more than getting a first ball duck so far this summer? I don't know. It's all those questions are all linked together, aren't they? It's one big spaghetti of questions with this opener. But Tom Haynes deserves to be in the conversation, and he's going to be on the England watch every week, and I'm absolutely certain he's going to score an absolute bag full of runs again this summer.
He is going to score a bag full. Someone that's got England ambition, mate, Harry Brook, 100 and a 50. Mm. He's come out. I want to play all three formats for England.
Good on him.
Batting about number six. I'm not sure on the exact number, but he's kind of middle order batsman. He's not high middle order 3-4 batsman where England's really got a need going on. Mm. I don't think he's England material yet, because we've not seen a lot of quality from him in first class cricket before this sort of thing. This might be a coming of age moment, but future's bright. Potential, he's white ball player all around the world, plays in different franchise leagues. There is a future there for Harry Brook, and scoring 150 in a game, and a game you win, is definitely going to make you feel pretty good about life and open eyes to kind of that list of, hey, where do you rank?
It's high time we had a lot more depth in the batting ranks, isn't it, for England? And the more the likes of Harry Brook can come through, really highly rated from a young age, the more these boys can put pressure on those in the England team or get the selectors interested in them, the better for everybody. It puts pressure on them, doesn't it? And if they're putting pressure on the ones in the team and they're scoring runs, it's a win-win. If they're putting pressure on them, they're not scoring runs, we have players ready to come through, but we have to have players ready to come through technically and scoring runs. Harry Brook looks a promising player. He's going to be a player that gets himself in the England side in other formats before the test side, I think, isn't it? But he's someone that's highly rated. And again, we keep coming back to it. We don't know what the selection is. We don't know what the coaches are. We don't know what their thoughts are. They might want Brook in. They might think he's the future Joe Root. Joe Root got in quite early. We don't know what they think about these young players. They might see something that we haven't quite seen yet. And he's in, and there you go, 100 tests later. What a great, great pickup he was.
Sweet. I think that's about everyone that's had a real major engagement in county cricket this week and what's going on. There's so many games. Like, you've got 8-9 games going on a week in county cricket, which is absolutely fantastic. These guys' performances do matter, and their form does matter the closer we get to one having a new head coach to a new captain. And then before you know it, New Zealand are going to be turning up and playing. So tomorrow's podcast is going to be the one where we're going to run through top 10 prospects around our opening batters in England and who's England eligible. So look forward to that one, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed it. England Watch is going well. We're two episodes down. We'll catch you next time.